Star Trek, the TV program from the 60s.
These are the commentaries of the siblings Alex and Sammy.
Their ongoing mission? To discuss creative science fiction concepts.
To examine interesting character dynamics and occasionally terrible writing.
To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Well, here we are on this pine tree planet to pick out a nice, perfect Christmas tree for the bridge, I guess. I want to make sure
we have
the biggest
one
in the fleet, just right in the middle of our bridge.
Absolutely. I want to put it right in front of the elevator so that if a security guard needs to come onto the bridge, they are not able to do so.
Yes. Well, not like we'd ever call security to the bridge anyway. It's better to just let rogue elements just kind of wander free, you know?
Absolutely. If anybody wants to take control of the ship, like, why should we stop them? That's none of our business.
No, because it's like, even if we put guards there, I mean, they're just going to get karate chopped anyway.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to hang up all of my Star Trek-themed ornaments. I actually have a Spock ornament, IRL. It's really cute. He's on his little computer.
Oh, I love that. Oh my god, Sammy, Commander, don't look now, but this is so awkward. There's a whole village of Native Americans over there.
No!
What do we do?
They don't celebrate Christmas. We have to go tell them about Christmas.
We have to go
tell them about Christmas. Starfleet is first and foremost a colonizing organization.
That's right. Prime directive be damned. The prime directive is now teach all civilizations about Christmas.
We must have everything homogenized so that it is like 1960s Earth, obviously.
Perfect. Oh, welcome to the show, everybody. This is Star Trek, the Original Siblings podcast. That's Sammy.
That's Alex. And we're the Original Siblings.
The Original
we
Siblings.
We were supposed to say that at the same time.
In my world, we did say it in perfect sync.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
But this is a show where we watch old episodes of Star Trek, the Original Series, and we talk through it the whole time.
We never shut up.
We never
do. Always got something to say.
Right. A lot of nitpicks, a lot of small criticisms. And let me say, even though we come in here every other week and we watch an episode of Star Trek, the Original Series, and we make fun of it, you know, we point out everything wrong with it and we call it stupid and sexist and, and make fun of the dumb costumes and wigs and, really, almost every element of it.
We love it so much.
That's what I'm getting at.
We couldn't love it anymore.
We really do love this show.
And we're having such a good time watching it, even though it doesn't sound like it.
Right? I know we just seem like we complain all the time, but that's how we express our affections for it. And we do love this show. And it's come to my attention
Absolutely.
That a lot of people...
And that has caused problems in some relationships of mine, but it's okay. We don't have to get into it.
It's come to my attention that some people... Star Trek fans like really do not like this show. Like,
wait, our show or like, oh, the original series?
Oh yeah, a lot of people don't like our show, but that's to be expected. No, the original series, Star Trek, the original series. They just
how can you not like it? It's perfect.
It's like while I am constantly seeing everything that is wrong with it, I can't help but love it. It's just so, it's like, I love the show. It's like, I'm here for
absolutely.
It. I love the characters, I love the ideas, and I love what it gave us with all these later, admittedly, some of them better Star Trek shows. But it's hard to imagine just writing this whole original series off as being, like, dumb, you know? It's like,
it's
I really
so
love
important.
It. It's like the groundwork for what it became. And given the time it came out, I think it is still, like, I think it's good given it's when it came out. I think people have trouble.
Absolutely. It's like the Old Testament, you know? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know, New Testament ain't shit without the Old Testament.
No, I love it. It's crazy to me that people like that Star Trek fans don't. But you know?
Yeah, I didn't realize. I think there's a lot of Star Trek fans that consider like the current era of Star Trek to be like our greatest thing
like the golden age,
as good as it's ever been, which like I do really like a lot of what we're doing right now, but it's like in my mind the TNG era was the golden era, and like a lot of what we're doing right now is just trying to recapture that. But they do a good job of not making... Like, Strange New Worlds feels, like, fresh and like it's own thing, you know? It doesn't feel like these Star Wars reboots where it's just like, oh, remember Definitely not Star Wars? Like, it feels like they're doing their own adventures, and it's great in its own way.
Yeah.
And certainly competitive with, you know, some of these, some of the 90s shows. Picard, I'd say the opposite about. I think Picard does fall into that, like, we're just nostalgia bait, you know? But it's like, Anyway, it's just interesting. With so many shows bouncing around, I guess it's not surprising there's any number of opinions about it. But I thought I thought that everyone had a sense of kind of reverence for this original show and what it gave to us. And I don't think that's the truth, you know? I think I think some people just write it off entirely. I got a buddy who's a Trekkie who's watched, I think every iteration of Trek now except the original series. And
what?
He, like, can't get through it. He's on season 3 now.
What?
I think he's, like, right where we are, actually. And he's just like, I just can't do it.
I mean, yeah, I'm where we are, and we are not in the best place, I'll admit it. But, like, I love being here. I love the journey. I love Star Trek.
Right. And it is funny this episode is opening with us praising Star Trek so much, because I'm pretty sure I know what this week's episode is. And I'm pretty sure it's, like, a really, really bad one.
Okay, yeah, we can just rip off that Band-Aid, because I am feeling, like, a little low energy today anyways, and then I saw what episode it was, and I was like, man, this is going to be a slog, but I was like, I don't want to set Alex up to know that, but if you already know that, then we can just go in being like, this one's going to suck,
we're gonna
hate Star Trek, the original series, by the end of it, and that's how it goes sometimes. It's a real emotional journey.
Right, well, that's why I kept delaying recording today. It was because I know what we're about to watch. Like, but we'll get to that. You know. We'll get to that soon. But we got a couple other things we have to cover first.
Absolutely.
Most importantly, Sammy, how's it going?
Well, I just said I'm tired, so I'm gonna try my best to be hyped up.
What if you just conk out halfway through the episode, and then it's just me, like, out here?
That might.
Like, oh man, oh God, I don't like this
so
either.
Funny.
I wish Sammy was here to agree with me.
And I'm just snoozing away peacefully, dreaming of better episodes. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I am present. I am here for whatever experience this will bring.
What's going on with me? I
don't think I asked, actually.
Well, I thought I should tell you. firstly, as you know, Sammy, I have been playing The Sims 4. I recently got The Sims 4.
Oh, I so want to play The Sims 4.
It's funny to play Sims as an adult, you know, because I haven't played since childhood. And so, it's like, as an adult, now my Sim is like, I have a very different relationship with my Sim, I feel, than I would have as a kid. Because now I'm like, you know, firstly, I'm like, man, my Sim's life is kind of boring. All he does is, like, sit around and work. And then I'm like, oh, no, like my Sim's living. And then my Sim is, like, he's just got to the point he just got a promotion. So, like, his salary is now, like, competitive with mine. I'm like, you think you're fucking better than me, my Sim?
No way.
I'm like, oh, you spent 2 days writing a book and you got it self-published? Like, So it's funny. You have this, like, sense of, like jealousy and competition with your Sim as an adult. Where you're like, I'm also living an adult life. Anyway,
that's so funny. I've never felt that way, but I love that for you.
It feels like a Black Mirror episode. I'm going to be like, I'm going to switch with my Sim. I'm going to go live his life.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome. Yeah, whenever I played The Sims, I have played as an adult.
Right.
But after my Sim gets, like, one promotion, she makes more money than me. So it's like, not a lot to be competitive with. I don't stand a chance.
Also, everyone, we recently made an appearance on, another appearance on the Trekspurts podcast, which you might remember, our pal Davey
over
at Trekspurts, where we, we do, normally we have done, like, trivia contests there in the past, but this time we were there for a Christmas special where it was called Quark Tank, where we pitched our version of a Star Trek Christmas special to a group of quarks to invest latinum in, and we were up against 5 other podcasts,
3, 4,
a lot of our, like, neighbor podcasts. 4 other podcasts, yes, 5 total. Yeah, there was, like, Where's Bev was one of the judges. What's the,
I love Dura's bed. Now
I'm drawing a blank on all. Oh, the Dura sisters were there. Yeah. So it's like mm-hmm. some of these other podcasts are really great. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty hilarious too. But everyone gave their own pitch. Everyone mm-hmm. was very funny. It was a great time. We went last. Anyway, I'm bringing this up to tell you guys to go check it out.
The one that was like Hailing Frequencies?
Hailing Frequencies Open Podcast. I think there's also
I really liked
OK Computer
too.
Podcast or something, or Computer Resume Podcast, I think is what it's called. Yes. So we were all there. We all got to give our pitches, which was very fun. Sammy mostly wrote us a really good script that's very funny that we kind of act out. We act out as all the like Star Trek characters.
It was so fun.
So, if you guys are fans
I've
of the
never
show,
written
I think
fan
really
fiction
like
before,
it.
But I feel like I would be good at it based on how that went.
Yes. Yeah, I think so too. I feel like we killed it. I guess I don't want to spoil it, but I don't know that we got the appreciation we deserved. But I think we did
so you
very
guys have
fun
to go
and funny
watch
and,
it and listen to it because you guys will appreciate it.
Yes, you'll like it. Yeah. You know, and if you want to skip to like an hour and a half in when we start doing our thing, you know.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
We won't. You know, if you don't want to hear all the other pitches, I won't stop you. You know, you can skip. But you know, give the video a view and maybe even go comment on the video and say, oh man, I really feel like
those siblings were wrong.
Really feel like those original siblings kind of got
wrong. We didn't win, you guys. We didn't win.
We did not win. In spite of how much we deserve to win. Anyway, very fun to interact with a bunch of other Trekkies, and everyone just had very fun, silly pitches.
Yeah, and one of us ends up flying their shuttlecraft into the sun, so you gotta watch and listen to find out who it was.
Yeah, there's a, yeah, I faked him out. I'm still here. They fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, so very fun. Definitely check that out. That's Trekspurts is the name of the podcast. And there's a video of us mm-hmm. doing it on YouTube if you want to watch the video on his YouTube channel. Otherwise, check it out anywhere you get podcasts and you can just hear the audio version, mm-hmm. which I'm sure is just as good probably. And today's the day after Christmas, so happy holidays to all of you listening. I'm sure you just celebrated.
Yeah, merry happy.
Now we're moving into our next segment. We are skipping Highly Illogical today, because supposedly we didn't say anything wrong last week, or if we did, I didn't catch it, so we're going to get away with it. Although, at one point in last episode, Spock did say, I'm going to split that fissure wide open, and neither of us remarked on it at all. Neither of us had
any
comment on that.
We must not have heard him, because there's
right?
No
so I'm like, it's not a correction, but it feels like, by our standards, a missed opportunity.
Yeah, we love that low-hanging fruit.
We really do. We live for it. So I thought I'd bring it up this week.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, let's open up our hailing frequencies.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
Thank you, Uhura.
This is the frequencies open segment. We are going to read the messages sent in from you, the listeners. We'll read your messages right here on the show. You can send them to us at stosibspod@gmail.com. Don't be shy. Write a little email. You know, it doesn't take that much effort. If you're listening to us, like, you know, on your train ride home or something. Nobody in New York listens to us. Who am I kidding? You know, if you're listening to us while you're trapped inside from the Minnesota or Canada snow, which seems to be where most of our listeners are, then, you know, pop out your phone, pop up your laptop, you know, write us a little message, you know, mm-hmm. and we'll read it here on the show. Anyway. We have a message this week from Lieutenant Kern, who has given us some thoughts on the previous episode.
I was so excited to hear from Kern about this one.
Yes. Yeah.
I always am, but like, especially this one.
Always, right? All right. So let's get into it. Hi, Sibs. Okay. The Paradise Syndrome is among the most divisive episodes in TOS. There are a lot of people who think highly of the episode.
When you said it's divisive, I said, what?
What? This episode? Who the thunk? There are a lot of people who think highly of the episode. They love the Kirk love story and how mm-hmm. it's so unlike a traditional TOS episode. It's mm-hmm. even been called a prototype for the TNG episode, The Inner Light, where Picard lives a whole lifetime on a planet.
Yeah, except for one of those is like the best episode ever, and one of them is Dog Water. That's right.
It is noteworthy that they are pretty similar, though. There's something to be said for that.
That is true.
Like, it is kind of the early version of what would become that story. So I guess it's a new type of plot that we haven't really seen yet. That we would kind of come to see more.
That's a good point.
Anyway. Other people legitimately can't get past the episode's depictions of Native people. I've heard some Native Americans blast the way their culture is portrayed in the episode. Which we kind of said, I think,
like we
part
said,
of what's
they,
so offensive
they based
is
it on nothing.
Yes, absolutely. And what's almost worse it's is like almost the lack of depiction of their culture, where it's just like, you know, natives, they wear tassels. It's like
they're
that's
cute,
like,
and they like the nature.
That's like almost the end of it. It's like we barely even scratched the surface of it. So it's like, what's the point? Anyway.
Absolutely.
Kern says, as for me, there are definitely far worse season 3 episodes, but this is one that pops up on my watch list. It says something that my favorite part is laughing when Kirk hugs himself at the obelisk.
It's so weird.
I am intrigued by the concept of the Preservers saving humans and seeding them across the galaxy. The TNG episode, The Chase, had an alien race seeding humanoid races in their image, including humans, Klingons, Romulans, and Cardassians.
Another moment where the TNG episode got it way right, and the TOS episode missed the mark.
But the TOS episode inspired the TNG episode once again, at least to some degree, because he says the writers of The Chase considered that race to be the same one as the Preservers.
Very interesting.
And I'd like to point out, this is a little bit of what we touched on last week, of saying, like, some of these things that feel like minor details in the moment, especially if you're like Fred Freeberger, you know, like, these are the compelling moments of the episode. Like, that's almost like, you know, a little bit of a throwaway to be like, oh, the Preservers are putting humans all over the place, you know?
But
it, like, says something that, like, that's the moment of the episode that Kern engaged with, because that's interesting sci-fi, you know?
Absolutely.
And so it's just, it's like, it's not all about, like, the immediacy of it. Sometimes there's, like, they're interesting
like
elements.
Like planting seeds, yeah.
Yeah, and just, like, making the universe feel a little bigger, you know? And doing sci-fi-y stuff. Anyway. It's not all about Kirk slamming his butt into, you know, a Klingon or whatever.
In my heart, it always is. Get that subtlety away from me. Where's Kirk's big ass?
That's why we gave it such low ratings. Not enough Kirk ass. Kern says, this episode falls back on Gene Roddenberry before he bowed out as showrunner. Roddenberry had commissioned Margaret Armin to write the episode. Roddenberry really liked her script. Right? But listen to this. Roddenberry really liked her script for Gamesters of Triskelion.
Which is like the weirdest, most perverted episode.
Yeah, it does feel like it's
like a long
like
line
Roddenberry.
Of perverted episodes.
Right? Roddenberry would like He's that like, episode.
I love that part where the girl's wearing a collar and a bikini. That was cool.
Right? Yeah. Oh my God. He's like, I like that sexy Marge Simpson. Can we bring her back? Roddenberry loved Armin's idea of a story about Kirk secretly longing for a simpler life. That part's interesting. He urged Fred Freeberger to move forward with production. Freeberger didn't like the script, but bowed to Roddenberry's judgment. So, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I feel like Fred Freeberger's a dingus. It's like, it sounds like he was
mad at
this
both of these
case,
dudes
but,
at this point.
Right? I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus, you know, Freeberger claims retroactively that he didn't like it, but it's like, you know, I bet at the time he was like, this is a great one, and then it went terribly. He was like, well, it was Roddenberry's fault. Like, I bet that's what went down.
Who's to say, you know?
Freeberger did make some changes to the script. Earlier outlines had Kirk falling through the trapdoor and losing his memory after bumping his head.
Wait,
which is stupid.
That's basically what happened, though.
You know, now a machine takes his memory.
Okay. It's like basically the same.
I would say the way that they ended up doing it is distinctly less stupid.
I don't know.
This was like stupid. Kirk just presses a random button
and gets zapped by a lightning and forgets everything. Like, is that really cooler?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't make sense. It's like, oh no, he accidentally hit the forget everything you know button.
That's what I'm saying. It's stupid.
Yeah, maybe it needed to make more sense. Anyway, instead of being a medicine man, Salish was the warrior next in line to be chief.
Salish.
Salish submitted to Kirk's will after losing the fight. When Spock returns, Kirk thinks they're invaders and leads an attack on the Enterprise shore party. Kirk's memory is restored on the ship, and he returns to the obelisk to save the planet. But Kirk makes his decision to leave Meranami and his unborn child behind.
Uh-oh.
He asks Salish to look after them.
Yeah, wait, I actually that like that life. Better.
I'd like to being like a medicine man, but I also like the idea of him, yeah, like leading in a war against the Enterprise. Like, I think that sounds kind of cool, you know?
And also, like, I like the idea of leaving Miramani and the child, because, like, one thing that we were saying about this episode is how little agency Kirk has. You know, he just kind of, like, stumbles through the episode. And so I like the idea of him, like, making a choice and making, like, a hard choice. And also, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, whenever women are inconvenient, they just get killed off, you know?
Right. It is interesting, too, because it's like, how would we feel about Kirk? Like, do you think that would change the way that we looked at Kirk if he, like, had this, like, had a relationship with a woman and had a child with her and then just left her here? Like,
but, like, it wouldn't be like, I mean, I think that there's a way that they could do it that would make him, like, sympathetic and that could still help us, like, care about him and just, like, make him more complicated. Because, like, his whole thing is kind of like these, like, you know, he wants to be the captain and to explore, but he also wants to be, like, to lead a simpler life and to settle down, you know? Like, he's kind of pulled in these opposite directions. So I would just love to see him making a decision, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well, and also it's like, it would be interesting because it's like, there's other parts of this to consider of like, okay, now that he is like a man of the future with his fully restored memory, can he continue to live this life with her? And is
he
that
couldn't.
Like, kind of dishonest to both himself and to her?
But it's it like, is, yeah.
You know, but then the trade-off of that is just leaving her with no father for this kid, you know, unless Salish.
But with Salish,
like,
you know?
Yeah, but it's like she kind of ditched Salish and clearly has mixed feelings about him.
But that didn't have to be the case, you know?
That's
true.
They
could have done it a little differently. I also just love the idea of Kirk fighting against everybody else, like, on the shore party. Because,
right?
Like,
that
would be, like, really interesting emotionally. I like that. I like that story better.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of more interesting choices potentially in this other version.
The part about him leaving. I just wanted to say, I feel like so often they're afraid of, like, having the character make a choice that would, like, alienate him from the audience, that they just, like, take away their agency. Like, I feel like we see this, like, time and time again, you know? Especially with Kirk, because they really want him to be, like, this likable lead, and so they don't give him the opportunity to, like, be interesting sometimes.
Yes, yeah, no, totally. Well, and this time is not the writer's fault, because here's what Kern says.
Okay,
NBC...
Okay.
NBC wasn't happy with the idea of Kirk abandoning his wife and unborn son. So the next script had Kirk beaming Meranami on board the ship so he could ask her to stay with him. But she freaked out and demanded to be returned to her people.
This.
I did suggest that, I know. That was eventually changed into the television version where Meranami and the unborn child were fridged so Kirk could move on. So,
yeah, I think that's a cop-out.
Yeah, so but it's like I clearly they tried multiple versions of it where he leaves and apparently NBC just wasn't having it. So it's like,
yeah, well, and like, yeah,
at some level their
hands
are tied, which
child.
Is too bad
because
it's like clearly the writers wanted to try something a little more interesting and were restricted in doing so. Let's see. He says, you were right about the massive use of bronzer. I know at least one extra was Native
American.
What was
their bronzer budget?
Right. But all the Native American speaking parts were played by white actors.
Mm-hmm.
I've attached a photo of Sabrina Scharf, the actress and former Playboy Bunny who played Meranami. You can't tell me that they couldn't find Native American actors in 1968.
Okay, I do gotta say, though, like, just real quick, Hubba hubba. Wow.
Yeah, she's a babe. Like,
and I'm also happy to see that she wears that much bronzer on a day-to-day occasion.
She's quite tan.
It's not just that she's cosplaying as a Native American. She is, I mean...
But this is a blonde white woman, for those of you who are not seeing
this. I don't know if that's... Yeah, yeah, wow. She is... That is not her natural skin color. Who's to say if it's a spray tan or a tanning bed tan, but yeah. It's like Ariana Grande levels of skin darkening.
Yeah, I don't know what was popular in the 60s for tanning methods. But she is very
attractive. Write in and let us know.
Just kidding. She's stupid attractive. And she,
absolutely.
She looks as good as a blonde Playboy model as she does as a fake Native American woman. Kern says, for even more cringiness, the episode's original title was The Pale Face.
No!
The Pale Face.
That's so gross.
The planet's name is never mentioned in dialogue, but it's called Amerind in the script. As in, like...
I wonder if it's supposed to sound like America.
Like America and Indian kind of pushed together into one awkward word.
Amerindian.
Amerind. You were wondering about where they shot the episode. They were at Franklin Reservoir in Beverly Hills, a.k.a. the fishing hole seen in the Andy Griffith Show.
I've been there.
The cost of building the obelisk and filming on location made it a very expensive episode. You'll see by the end of the season how desperate they are to cut costs.
Tell me that, Kern.
So every time we see a cheap episode, we're going to have to go, man, if only they didn't have that big obelisk in the Native American episode.
That big, stupid obelisk.
He says, you were getting on like Spock for his actions. I blame it all on Kirk/the script. Now, this is funny. He says, what the heck are they doing walking around the planet when they know they had to leave in 30 minutes to deflect the asteroid?
Right?
Would Kirk waste time if Earth was in danger? They not only used up all 30 minutes, but probably even more time searching for Kirk. That's why the ship's engines were burning out when they reached the asteroid. So, not Spock's fault.
God, yeah, that's so lame.
He inherited a bad deal.
Never. Spock is perfect.
Let's see. Kern says, switching topics, one of my favorite Trek viewing memories. This is an answer to a question we asked last week.
I remember.
One of my favorite Trek viewing memories was the suspense waiting for the conclusion of Best of Both Worlds. TNG was the first Trek series I watched
in real
time.
Remember which one that was?
That's the Borg episode at the end of season
four,
I think, three. I think it's at four, where Picard's been, not to spoil TNG for you guys, although I'm just going to assume you've seen it. Picard has been taken by the Borg, and Riker is captaining the ship.
I remember.
They didn't know if Patrick Stewart was going to come back for another season at that point.
Oh, no.
Right, so he says, I watched it in real time. This was pre-internet, so my friends and I were speculating all summer 1990 whether Picard would survive in part two. That's pretty darn fun.
I love that.
I would have loved to have been a part of that and be engaged with that on that level. That is one of the most exciting moments in Star Trek history, I feel like. So it's like,
absolutely.
to have been there, you know, and gone through months of waiting like that. It's like, you know, I just put on the next episode when I watched it. So it's like, that's really fun. And of course, I also know that Picard is going to be in the rest of the show. You know,
absolutely.
I have hindsight to do that with, but it's it would have been fun to be in that suspense. Kern also told me, in terms of what Trek show to view next, I'd suggest Alex finish off Discovery. You've got until April before the fifth and final season debuts. So fair enough. I'm gonna keep powering through Discovery.
Ooh.
I've already started. I might as well crank out the rest. I'm most of the way through season two, which everyone tells me is the worst season, and I'm inclined to agree as someone who's currently watching it. I've only seen the first two, of course, but I like the Pikes there. It's funny how...
Thanks for sending us that cute picture.
We always get into it, but it's funny how things get screwed up, you know? Yes, thanks for the cute picture,
Oh, yeah.
He had that one on hand.
Like the writers, and then the showrunners, and then the producers. Yeah, there's just so many people.
Yeah, and then you get NBC getting involved and screwing things up, too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God. So, something's going to go horribly awry this week, we know. Let's
you
move into this
know.
Next segment, Sammy.
All right, it's time for Guess the Plot, the segment where I tell Alex the episode we're about to watch, and he uses his Star Trek knowledge to guess what he thinks is going to happen. All right, Alex, the name of today's episode is And the Children Shall Lead.
Yes, I know. It's And the Children Shall Lead. This episode very often appears at the top of the worst episodes of the original series lists, or right there, right next to Spock's brain. And I think Kern has told us that this is his least favorite episode.
All right.
If this was season one, you know, I might guess something like maybe they have to beam down to a planet and maybe there's some sort of, like, you know, phenomenon that only children can, like, hear or see or detect or something. So they're having to kind of use, like, kids to kind of lead them on the way. But the kids are, like, not reliable because they're kids. And Kirk is, like, struggling. And Bones is being like, I can't listen to these damn kids anymore. These whiny brats, you know. Our life is in their hands or whatever. So if this was season one, I might have guessed something like that. Given that this is season three and I know this episode has a terrible reputation. My instinct is that either it's incredibly boring and nonsensical, or it's offensive at some level. My instinct is that it is, like, just going to be like, firstly, there's no children in it, is my first guess. That the title is just some sort of, like, random misnomer.
Children are expensive,
as they sometimes
you know?
Do. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, so it's just, like, some sort of turn of phrase they're using. I'm gonna guess it's, like, a really drawn-out, boring episode that doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm thinking we're in, like, you know, similar to Alternative Factor, except Alternative Factor was, like, we bring that episode up a lot, but it was, like, just nonstop information in spite of being, like, about nothing and nothing happening. They were also, like, constantly talking and giving us more information that just didn't make sense in Alternative Factor. I don't know if that's gonna be this. I think this is gonna be a lot of, like, a lot of just, like, back and forth where nothing happens. Characters, like, denying each other. So a character comes in being like, I have an idea. And someone else will just be like, no. And there's not going to be any discussion.
Like, hello, have you heard of Yes And?
Yeah, there's just going to be a lot of, like, plot negating happening. A lot of, like, oh, we can't fix this because of this. I guess we just have to wait. I think a lot of that type of shit.
You're just already, like, you've already given up. I don't care what happens. It's going to be bad.
It's going to be a bad episode. I'm just trying to predict the way in which it's going to be bad.
Okay,
it's like,
there's
so many different ways this show fails us. And apparently this one escalates above many of our other greatest failures. So,
wow.
I think it's going to be, unlike a lot of the other bad ones, like Spock's Brain or iMud, I think it's going to be just, like, just dry is my worry. That's, like, my greatest fear for an episode, is that it's because Spock's Brain, and even last week's episode, whatever it was called, We Found Native Americans in Space, even that one was, like, there was stuff happening, we were entertained, there was stuff to, like, comment on. And I think the worst case scenario with a Star Trek episode is just, like, a lack of anything. And so I suspect that's what we're about to get, is just like
nothing,
just
episode.
A devoid of humor, devoid of story and character, just like just dumb shit for 50 minutes. And I guess we'll find out in a minute here, won't we? What say
Maybe
you,
we
Sammy?
Could just, I say, what if we just watch the Enterprise incident again?
Huh? That's not the worst idea. But I'm afraid...
I think we're going to see the worst idea in action now.
And now for our feature presentation.
Captain's log, stardate 59.5.
Pretty typical intro, flying above a planet.
Everything seems fine so far.
Yeah, beaming down to a planet.
And it's the boys.
Bones and Spock.
Okay,
a bunch
I feel
of dead
like the...
people in rainbow outfits, purple sky.
That sucks.
Seems like a perfect start to an episode.
Well, that's what you think.
They're like, we all just tried to watch And the Children Shall Lead, and this is what happened to us.
This is our live reaction.
There's seven dead people laying in the dirt.
I'm willing to bet it's a cult thing, you know? They all just drank the Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah, look
at those
all,
outfits.
They're all
one
wearing
of them's still alive.
Nike shoes
Mr. Pink.
Or whatever.
Professor Starnes.
Pink Man's alive! It's Professor Starnes!
Uh-oh. Oh, he looked grumpy.
It's Kirk.
Oh no, he looks... He does not look well.
Oh. He's dead, Jim. Willing to bet.
He was making this face kind of like he had to take a dump but was too drunk to tell us that.
He's dead, Captain? What the fuck?
Oh, come on. Just say your catchphrase, Bones.
We missed it by that much.
Don't wimp out. He's no longer alive.
I'm a doctor, not a television character. Damn it. Kirk's like, damn, this woman looks like she was hot once.
Right? Kirk has found the most scantily clad dead body here. She is covered in big purple welts.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you were right. It is some cult shit. She had cyanide.
It's not to be confused with cyanide.
Even though it does the exact same thing.
The enemy from within.
Hey, that's a different episode.
Self-inflicted. Mass suicide.
Now, this is interesting because how long after Jonestown was all this?
That's a great question. I have no idea. You should know that.
I think it's... I should. I agree. Because I read the fucking book about it. Oh, actually...
I love how these...
That's what I thought. This predates Jonestown by 10 years.
Yeah, that sounds about
Which
right.
is funny because it feels like... It feels like a direct commentary on it. Like,
but they
instantly.
Wouldn't. They wouldn't do that. You know?
Okay, so there are
it's
kids.
It's too direct.
I was wrong about that. I don't know. Sometimes they do pretty direct things.
Also, these kids all have, like, startlingly, like... reflective, smooth, black leather boots.
Yeah, what is that about?
It's weird, that's for sure.
Also,
they're in the shiny boot cult.
Yeah, right? There's also one kid who is awkwardly, like, a full foot and a half taller than the other kids.
Well, they have to have the kid who's, like, the speaker on behalf of the other kids, you know?
It's
They've
got
to have, like, one kid
like...
who's, like, the actual competent actor, and then everybody else just brings their kids to the set.
The idea that he's also just randomly playing Rosie with the other five. It's like,
what else
you got,
is he
like,
gonna do,
five you know? 9-year-olds and then one, like, 15-year-old who's like, I'm also just a kid like the other five kids!
Like, oh my god, do you remember that kid from Miri?
From Miri, yeah. The 28-year-old yeah. kid.
That was so disturbing.
Listen, I'm just a little kid like you guys.
At least... Hello, fellow children. Or hello, fellow kids.
Hello, fellow
At
kids.
At least we don't have that situation.
Right? Yeah. True. That's funny. Kirk had this look on his face when those kids were all dancing around him in a circle, like, oh no, I'm in a
it's
bad
one of
episode.
These episodes.
Yeah. He just realized. It's like, the hook seems so enticing.
They were like, we're never going to have kids again after Miri. But then this time they were like, well, let's try it again. And then it was a big mistake.
Here we got some tombstones for Jamowski, O'Connell.
Log supplementary. We have buried the members.
I love how ethnic their names always are. I think it's cool.
Everyone has been
it's very, like, it's, I like the intentionality.
Yeah.
With some important exceptions.
Oh my gosh, that girl looks like me as a kid, which is not a good thing.
The one with sunflowers as part of her outfit?
Of course.
Okay, when the giant kid, I can't help but notice, has the most infantile outfit of the five kids.
He really does, he's like wearing a onesie, basically.
Yeah.
They seem completely secure and unafraid. And you insist that their behavior is a sign of traumatic shock? I don't insist, Jim, but I can't dismiss the possibility. Child?
We're doing an over-the-shoulder shot of Bones talking to Jim, but does Bones look like he's a full foot taller than Kirk in the shot?
Don't tell Shatner.
Yeah, he looked like he was like looking down on a tiny little man. Look at the shot. It's like really weird.
Only metaphorically.
Yeah, right.
The cameraman was mad at Shatner.
Including lacunar amnesia. That's my diagnosis. Until specific tests can be made, it remains that.
I'll be gone. Right, I think we need to pay really close attention to the plot in this one, Sammy.
Shut up.
What about questioning them?
I'm not sure kids know how to answer questions.
Also, kids are weird, you know? Like, let them do their thing. Let them play. That's what I say. Accepted, Doctor.
Oh no, three of the kids have become frozen.
playing freeze tag, idiot.
I'm sorry, Captain Kurt.
Oh, he's so cute. Get out of here with that cute kid.
I know, he's got kind of an attitude. Oh, sorry,
so
Captain
cute.
Kurt. Oh. Oh, your little flag that is supposed to represent all our dead parents fall down? My bad, Captain Kirk.
Oh, not yet.
Oh, Kirk, you idiot. You obviously have to give them a 5-minute warning.
I like the kid's dialogue. The one kid says his line, then they all turn and look at the girl before she says her line. Now you talk.
Oh, it's your line. Oh, they're cute. They're just kids. They don't know.
Right.
Whatever happened here is locked up inside those children.
I just love that they're like, wow, these children are being so weird. And it's like, dude, that's what kids are like.
Right.
Mass suicide is what it seems to be.
I stand corrected, Captain.
Perhaps it was a mass murder committed by these children.
Used by an outside force.
Possible.
And the children shall kill.
Boo.
A helpless mental depression and a state of suicidal anxiety.
Yep, that's how suicide works, induced. Spocky.
What would make the children immune?
I do not know.
Being children?
But it is possible.
Then the children would have been exempted by conscious design.
It's funny because I felt like killing myself since this episode started.
I just like how, like, I don't know. It's just like they have no information and they're just like extrapolating a whole like series of events, you know?
Right, they're writing their own fanfics.
Right? They're like, well, this makes the most sense, so let's just go with it.
I mean, you know, what are they supposed to do? Well, I mean, what would you guess, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like they're not really investigating. They're just like, oh, well, it's probably this.
Yeah, you more know? Speculating like, than investigating.
You know?
Right. Yeah. A lot more guessing than from yeah. that
cave. I just wish that they would, like, investigate and find clues or something instead of being like, well, the plot of the episode is this, because
but
that's
we
what
have,
the script says.
Right? We have hypothesis for days, so it's just a matter of narrowing them down now.
I guess so.
Okay, we have made our
way
to
Okay, now we're investigating.
Definitely not humanoid, Captain. Impossible to make any specific identification. The readings do not correlate with any...
It is I, Suicidino Sklug. All who behold me and are above the age of 18 kill themselves.
Stop it.
They're like, oh, it all makes sense now.
But then Spock is exempt because he's like, I have not yet reached the Vulcan age of maturity.
My Vulcan outer eyes fell off when I saw him, and I'm now relegated to my secondary eyes, which were directly below my initial eyes and looked the exact same.
But I was not aware that it could be registered on sensors.
Kirk's an anxious boy.
Yeah, he's feeling that angst.
I'm starting to feel how I felt that episode where you had one more line than me.
Oh my god, you're so
Don't
right.
tell me how you feel, though. Just stand there silently.
Just don't you dare say another line.
Are you all right, Captain?
Yes,
I'm... Man, that cave has some bad vibes.
What did I tell you about talking?
He's like, just say it with your face. But then when he says it with his face, then he is a better actor, so there's like no winning.
Right.
Want to check out those tapes from
No Face Journeys, Mr. Spock.
Yeah, Shatner kept pushing for them to pull on Spock's brain again every single episode. And we're sure Spock should have his brain again in this episode.
I think maybe something happened that caused it to fall out. Ew, why is she with the children? And that is not a child. He's literally taller than Nurse Chapel. He's not, I'm sorry. He's
Do you think they'll ever acknowledge that this one kid is colossal compared to the other ones?
That's what I'm saying.
It's like,
they don't even have, like, a variety of children heights. That's what's so funny. Yeah, like you said.
Four kids who are identically, like, 4 feet tall, and then one full-grown Danny Elfman in the middle of it.
Oh my god, that's it. It is full-grown Danny Elfman.
It's coconut and vanilla. They're both white.
There, now, Stevie.
Ew. If this woman tried to comfort me, I would be way more upset.
They work so hard to give Nurse Chapel scenes. It's such bullshit.
And to make her charming? And, like, she's just not. I'm sorry. This is not the role for her. And peach.
And you know what drives me crazy is to think that, like, this scene could have been Uhura, you know?
It could have been Uhura, who, like, would,
Michelle
if
Nichols
I was a child,
there, and they chose her. To have fucking... what's her toes do it?
Vachel Barrett.
Vachel Barrett.
Again, an even worse wig. And it's not always that the wigs are bad, but they're always askew. Like, it's, like, way too far forward, you know?
And they're so it's like, inconsistent.
It's like she's a drag queen, but it's, like, her first day, and she only has $5, you know?
It's like she's some sort of alien race that, in this, you know, let's assume the chapel's an alien, and her species wears human hair as a hat, rather than... which is why her wigs
That's
all look like
That's the only explanation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're meant to be fancy hats. They're not supposed to be hair.
I love that.
Which is doubly funny because I feel like she has, like, the most incredible wigs in TNG. Like...
Oh, she absolutely does. She looks elegant and fabulous all the time.
I'll have to eat some more before that was fun.
I love ice cream. This is my line where I say I love ice cream. I think I'll join.
Is that all right? Please do.
All right, I'll have a dish too.
Oh, of course.
A little one, a very small one.
You're not good
I'm
with
watching
kids,
my figure. but keep in mind, by the end of the season, I'll still be pretty soggy in the middle.
Oh, no.
My God, Chapel, that's what you consider a small thing of ice cream? It's fucking colossal.
Oh, shit.
Parents like children.
Ha. Huh. That's what you think.
Did she say that children are stupid? I'm sure
your parents no, she said parents like stupid things.
And then she said parents like children. So far yep. Such a
long time. That would make them very unhappy and they'd miss you. I'm sure that you would miss them too.
If hypothetically
Kirk should not
they
talk
all
to children.
Killed themselves with cyanide.
Busy.
Bomb, bomb on the head.
Wait a second, Alex.
Bomb on the
Ron
head.
Ron Howard?
What is that?
I said, is that Ron Howard?
The kid?
The tall one.
The tall kid is Ron Howard.
It's my headcanon.
It could be. He was somewhere.
They're like, we borrow everything else from your show. Maybe we can borrow this kid.
He was in this orbit, at least. It's not impossible.
It's true.
Now, wait a minute.
Can we have some more ice cream?
Oh, can you not grab a child like that?
No, I don't think so. It'll spoil your dinner.
Well, she charged him. It was his only managed way to defend himself.
Shut up! She's like 2 feet tall.
So the kids want ice cream. Kirk doesn't want them to have ice cream.
I think he just didn't like the chanting.
Yeah, they already had ice cream.
I'd like to ask you a question, Ron Howard.
Oh, he separated the giant kid.
Let's stop calling him a kid. That is a full-grown adult.
He separated Danny Elfman from the children.
In the cave. On the planet, on... Dryacres.
You were there.
Did you see your father today?
I saw him.
Did he seem upset?
Yeah, he was very upset.
And then he killed himself, fucking
about
loser.
About being in this stupid episode.
What's going on that would have upset him?
How should I know? He was always upset. Just like you, Captain Kirk.
Oh, snap.
Grown-ups are pansies. Your friends?
I just love that, like, these kids are, like, I mean, who fucking knows? But theoretically, these kids are, like, horribly, horribly traumatized. And, like, they just, like, feed them ice cream and tell them what to do and ask them, like, how their dad killed himself. Like, can we maybe, like, call in, like, child protective services or social services or some shit?
Deanna
like, what's
Troy?
Happening? Honestly, like, Deanna Troy would have done a bad job, but at least... That ship had somebody who was assigned to do that job, you know?
It is difficult to tell how the children are feeling. They have many emotions clouding their emotions, but could I have some of that ice cream, perhaps?
I love Deanna. She's like, I can't hear their stupid feelings over my beautiful perfect hair.
To
post a guard on the children.
Of all the people we haven't guarded in the show, we are going to guard the children. Oh, they have kind of creepy songs.
Dude, I'm telling you, this is just what kids are like. Whoever wrote this episode doesn't spend time with kids.
call the angel.
I mean, not this tall kid. I don't know what the fuck is up with this tall kid.
Yeah, but the tall kid has to get out of this mix because
he
doesn't realize he's the one who's going to be blamed for all this. My God, a giant green pope has appeared in their quarters. He's wearing a giant trash bag. He's got George Bush Sr.'s head. Kind of like George Bush Sr. combined with Jay Leno.
Choose a closer station. Do not let that deter you. Marcus 12 has millions of people on it. Nearly a million will join us as our friends.
Oh, look at us lazy eyes.
I was noticing that.
Cute.
Together with our other friends who will join us.
God, can you shut up? I feel like we could have said this line in like one sentence. We don't need a whole monologue.
And once we get to the planet, we will have achieved an even greater sense of happiness than we currently have. And all of us will go there together.
I love all the kids trying to smile. Like, obviously there's an adult being like, now everybody smile. And none of them like know how to smile the right way. Except for this tall little teenage boy. Jesus, is he still talking?
Man, he is just rambling.
What the fuck?
He has kind of a similar energy, though, to like a kids' TV show host.
I feel like he's just like an average old white man, you know?
Right.
It's like, is he still talking? Jesus, shut up.
He's the Teletubby's son all grown up. He's the adult version of the Teletubby's son.
What a horrible thing to say.
Standard orbit, Captain. Lieutenant Uhura and a report from the planet security team.
Everything is quiet, sir.
Including me, because they gave Major Barrett the scene that I should have had.
You're so right.
Among the technical facts he gathered, Professor Starnes also offered some rather unscientific hypotheses.
Oh, you guys love those, so that should
be good. Yeah, that's kind of been our thing this episode, right?
Log date 5025.3. Ever since our arrival on Triacus, I've felt a certain growing feeling of uneasiness.
That's how I've been feeling ever since we got into wintertime. I think it could just be the seasonal depression, bestie.
That'll do it. And that's how I've been feeling ever since starting season 3.
Anxieties. The only ones not affected are the children. Bless them, find the whole thing an exciting adventure. Ah, to be young again.
And not crippled by anxiety.
Just like the exposition. Everything is so exposition heavy. It's so, I feel so inauthentic.
5032.4. The feeling of anxiety we've all been experiencing.
Can I point out that all these monologues he's giving are like given from the exact same position that he died in earlier?
Yeah, that's his place.
That's
where he
stands. Spot.
Maybe that's like.
Oh no! Now he's moved.
Just because he does. Okay.
Now he's in front of the rock wall. I just like the idea that they did his death scene. Okay, now stand up and give these monologues now, like from
Absolutely.
The same.
No, I think
camera.
It's the other way. He gave all these monologues and like, okay, now fall down. Now stop moving. Good.
Right.
Uh oh, he's getting ready to play rock paper scissors.
But he's gonna pick rock. The kid, the redhead monster giant kid
Ron
has
Howard.
Just showed up on the bridge, and he's practicing his fist. Whoa! Sam, did you see that?
He's just like
we're just in a jump scare where the kid appeared right behind Kirk. I don't know if we've ever done that on this show.
Also, he's like 1 inch shorter than Kirk. Oh my God! And the fact they named him Tommy, they're like, what's a childish name?
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball.
I'm really excited for Kurt to write to us to be like, and this character inspired Wesley Crusher in TNG.
Every single one of these kids grew up to be someone like hugely famous.
They're like, let's just leave him alone on the bridge and not tell anybody that there's a random kid on the bridge. That should be fine. There's right. basically a Christmas tree in front of the elevator.
He's gonna take the captain's chair. Anyone that sits in that chair is automatically captain. No, somebody stop that!
Oh no! Captain Kidd.
Oh, this is interesting. Hang on. Okay, so a minute ago, the red-haired kid was standing in the back of the room, and he looked forward towards the rest of the bridge, and we saw his perspective of everyone on the bridge. And I noticed Lieutenant Hadley was at the comm along with Sulu.
Now
the kid has walked up to them, and it is now Chekhov and Sulu.
That's so funny. I'm sure there's an explanation. They just, like, beamed and changed positions really fast.
I think the other shot, even when they used it, I was thinking it was from a different episode. And now seeing this moment, I'm like, absolutely. Also, isn't the guy who's guarding the door right now, isn't that guy who's died twice?
I think it probably is. I totally believe it.
I think it's one of our generic dying redheads. Or red shirts.
Oh, no. Redheads. You're thinking of Tommy.
Is the kid going to practice his punching skills on Sulu and Chekhov?
I don't know. Or Hadley. He's there, too.
Yeah, or Hadley, depending on whether it's Hadley or Chekhov by the time he swings.
Okay, it looks like they're controlling. Or he's controlling them? Question mark? Oh, because the children are leading. Duh.
Yes, the children shall lead. Specifically the giant child. The biggest child shall lead the children. And the man dressed in the garbage.
He looks so checked out.
But Sulu looks like he's losing it.
Oh, you're a cute little pigtails girl.
Here's Sunflower Sammy.
What is that?
Sulu's high as a kite.
He really is.
Will we see that all the time we stay here?
Yes, we will. All the time we're here.
It is like Russia.
Okay, so these kids have mind control powers, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Seems very beneficial to evil kids.
And Uhura's just like, oh, children are so cute. Mr. Sulu, the screen. Thank God Uhura's there, Jesus Christ. Bonk, 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 bitch.
Rock, rock, rock.
I'm glad these kids can just make people see what they want to see.
Right. The guy at the door, the security guy, witnessed all of this, witnessed all three of them get hypnotized, and he's just still just, like,
he's
standing there vacantly.
Like,
you hate to be
stand.
The one guy in a room of six people who are all hypnotized, and you're not hypnotized, but you're
not
doing
even
anything.
Notice.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So no one needs to hypnotize you because you're that incompetent.
Oh my god.
I can't make sense
Man,
of
this. Man, this is so annoying.
The rock hand bit is like, it's a really weird way to hypnotize somebody just to kind of swing your fist in the air.
Guys, I forgot how hot Scotty is again. But
hot
he's here,
Scotty's here with some hot red
shirts.
Don't
freak out. Some other hotties. Wow. Room full of hotties.
This guy looks like handsome cousin Greg.
Who?
From Succession.
That's funny.
What do you mean we haven't changed course? Look at your bridge control monitor.
We're still in orbit, sir.
Have you gone completely blind? That's not orbiting position.
Don't oh my god.
Touch the control, sir.
Oh
what
no.
What the devil do you think you're doing?
We must remain in this orbit till the bridge orders a change.
Uh-oh, this guy's losing it.
Fool. Can't you see what's in front of you?
Another hottie.
Yeah, I guess really good looking, this second red shirt.
You will not disobey an order from the bridge.
You are disobeying an order from the bridge. Now step aside.
You're losing control of yourself, sir.
I love how real Scotty is,
oh,
though.
Oh, shit.
You know, it's like any of the other guys would have handled this very formally. Scotty is just like, are you fucking crazy, you stupid idiot? I'll punch you if you keep doing the wrong thing.
He's right. Like,
Spock would be like, well, I guess I can't do anything if you won't listen to what I say.
I'm being influenced to do things that do
Wow, that's
sense.
Convenient. Man, some of these camera shots are so low quality. It's like, were these edited, or did they just, like, put them right in?
You mean the wide shot of them standing in the room there, with the dirt
and
on
like
the lens?
And the episode started with a shot like that, too. They've had a bunch of, like, really bad shots.
Yeah, sometimes we get this, like, dirty lens, like, looks like it's been, like, recovered from a fire-type shots.
Right?
Alien upon us! The enemy from within!
Hey, that's another episode. And
I
that's also an episode.
Earlier,
Those
Alex.
Are two episodes he just listed.
Did you not hear I made that joke at the beginning of the episode?
Oh, did you? About him listing?
He said the enemy from within us, so that's another episode.
It's like, the children shall lead! Miri! Munsk women! I have no idea what he's saying now, Captain.
Details of the experience. He was an excellent scientist and tireless in his pursuit of the truth.
destroyed.
Well, I don't know. They all died, so it seems like it probably wasn't just him. Power
by suppressing the truth or by misleading.
Yeah, but the other six didn't have dialogue.
Or any recorded anything, apparently.
It's almost like they're just extras.
Oh my god. Kirk's like, what about that hot woman? Any news on her? Any thoughts?
The one covered in weird warts. Welts.
The one covered in hickeys?
Bruises, yeah.
I know about the race that lived here. According to the legend...
They're like, I don't think those were hickeys, Captain.
...a band of marauders who made constant war throughout the system of Epsilon Indy. After many centuries, the destroyers...
You're right that it is like the alternative factor and that they just keep giving us information.
Yeah, a lot of information.
It's like you can't make up for a bad story with like information overload, you know?
But then they can at least claim that we didn't like it because we didn't follow it, you know?
Ah, you're so right.
But it's not going to work on me. I know that it's all just boring and stupid.
And I'm not talking over it. I'm really listening.
Yeah, Spock is right now saying that the kids are like aliens or something.
Yeah, or no, not that, but kind of.
Grief is tapped and released from these children. You are treading dangerously.
If only we had anybody who knew anything about children.
But not to the exclusion of the
safety. Yeah, this is the like hit your kids, yell at your kids generation. So I guess they are really equipped to handle this.
No, least of all Bones. It's like, absolutely. You know what my daddy used to do when I misbehaved was lock me in the shed for 3 days.
What was it Professor Stearns said about the...
God, it was
and
hot
I turned
out there.
Just fine.
And I turned out great. Look at me. Spock and Kirk just exchanged a look.
Was beginning to fight it and canceled his request for a ship. Ship. Yes, a ship for Dryakus, but why?
Yes, why?
Why are you whispering?
Security detachment. Ready for relief.
This, like, this episode is making me angry. It makes me want to punch these characters.
I'm glad, though, that it's, like, at least making you feel something, because I'm, like, I can, like, feel my body, like, just, like, giving in on me. Just, like, getting ready to pass out. Like, this feels like when you lay in bed at night, and it's, like, your body just slowly starts falling asleep. That's, like, what's happening to me right now. I'm, like...
No, I'm, like, annoyed. I'm, like, shut up. Stop talking. Like,
yeah, the kids are trying to control the ship so that they can...
Oh, here's the ugly red shirts. We found them.
Oh, no. We got two dinguses we're sending down to the planet.
Oh, now that we found our
two shortest, dorkiest looking red shirts with the highest worn pants. Let's send them down. I'm sure nothing bad will happen.
You're so right. Get these dorky shorties out of here.
We're trying to beam them back, but it's not working.
When Spock is in the transporter room. And he always ends up, like, micromanaging. Like, this happens all the time, that, like, they have the transporter guy move aside so Spock can do it. And it's like, is Spock really the best at every job on the ship? Like, that's what I want to know.
Yes.
And I think the answer might be yes.
Yeah, sometimes,
he's definitely,
you know,
better at Kirk.
Some places you work, there's
Kirk
a guy like
job.
That who can just do everyone's job better than them.
Ugh, that's like me, I tell you.
Activate the bridge monitor screen.
I like that the red shirt guy who was operating the... transporters had to step out of frame and he's just gone now.
He's gone. He just disappeared.
Like, he's not. He hasn't been a single shot since then. He's presumably still in the room with them.
We're not orbiting Dryakus.
With all respects, Captain, you're wrong.
Oh my god, all the children are just staring him down.
I'm coming right up.
What is happening? Oh god. And Uhura's just watching these kids do their weird shit.
Well, she's
like, oh, cute.
Yeah, now the kid, but that security guard, once again, is not hypnotized. Who's just let these kids
There's
take over the bridge.
And just
There's
looking.
Two of them.
And nothing.
We will go far away, far to sea.
Oh no, this means that guy's gonna come back and talk for a million years. Here's the friendly angel.
What's that?
Oh my god, there's a guy there. Why are we having such a big reaction? We know. The audience knows about this guy already.
But now he's come to say... Oh, his name's Gorgon.
Friends, Gorgon!
A moment of crisis. The enemy... Oh,
god, no. I hate the way he talks.
They are too late. They no longer...
And why would the children like him? This is how, like, the worst teachers talk, you know?
This is awkward that he's giving the speech in front of all
they
the adults, too.
They would hate this
too.
Guy. I know.
He's like, now we have taken the ship from Captain Kirk and all those idiots. Great job, kids. Kirk is standing, like, right there. He's like, okay, so this guy can't see me?
The fear in each one of them is the beast which will consume him.
God, I fucking hate this guy.
If they resist, so shall it be on
what? Him, I can't stop screaming because I'm so upset and annoyed.
Is Marcus 12. It is our new
why? We must why does he talk
why do they listen
like
to this guy?
So long? They wouldn't. He's the worst. Nobody would listen to this guy ever.
Well, this is awkward. He just vanishes and now it's like just the evil kids standing surrounded by the crew.
And Kirk is just like, well, I probably can't do anything about that.
Kirk's just sitting all awkwardly. Tommy, I noticed that some sort of green man appeared and gave you a bunch of instructions.
I noticed that the most annoying man just sucked all of the wind out of this room.
What you think you see on the screen. Set a course for Starbase 4.
Oh, no.
Rock, rock, rock.
He bonked his head. There's knives!
Oh
it's
no, he's flying through
knives.
A vortex of daggers!
Oh, it's scary!
It seems like you should have picked something more logical, like an asteroid ahead of them or something.
Nope. Bunch of knives.
Vortex of daggers.
That could have been like a cool tattoo design, though.
Yeah.
Vortex of daggers. Wait, there's never been a mirror there before. Why would Uhura need a mirror?
Uhura has her comm set to selfie mode. Oh no, it's got the old lady filter on.
Oh, they're like, what would scare Sulu? Knives. What would scare Uhura? Not being beautiful.
I seem like that.
Yeah, she looks hideous.
Yeah, she could never look that bad.
I know, because it's like, we know how she looks.
Michelle Nichols was a beautiful
years.
Older
Yeah,
woman,
it's like she was
absolutely.
Beautiful to the end of her life, you know?
No question.
Oh, God. Captain.
Oh, please. She would not be this fragile. She would say, that's weird, anyways, and do her fucking job, because she's goddamn Uhura. Please stop showing us that. It's really grody.
Zulu, I ordered you to change course.
But the knives, Captain! Ah, I'm scared of knives!
If I change course, I'll run into one of those floating daggers in space, which might damage the ship.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Zulu, Captain, stay away from the controls!
Really? Everyone is that stupid? Oh my god, please don't grab him by the face. That was alarming.
You know, sometimes you gotta grab people's faces.
I guess so. Captain, why are we bothering Starfleet?
This bridge is under complete control. There is no need.
I love when Kirk is like the only one who's like unaffected for whatever reason.
Well, actually, Spock isn't affected either. He's just doing his usual Spock thing.
He's just being a dick. He's just being difficult for no reason.
It's like, listen, if I respect anything, Captain, it's the command, Jane. And Tommy
also,
is at the top of
it. I love just reusing the same shot over and over of Tommy.
Spock can't press the controls. As much as he tries, Tommy is preventing him.
Uh-huh. That's it.
He raised an eyebrow.
I cannot obey your order, Captain.
But
say
Spock
that you
lives
tried,
to obey
or
the captain's
you tell
orders.
Me you wanted to, or...
Oh, there's ugly Uhura.
Why are they making Uhura see herself as an ugly old lady? I don't get what this is doing.
So that she is paralyzed.
It's incapacitating her somehow.
Yeah.
Daggers, 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 daggers.
God.
Take Mr. Sulu to
make sweet, sweet love to him.
Oh man, they
That's
finally.
That's what I've been hearing this whole episode.
I like that if Kirk came up and just started speaking to this guard in gibberish, he would just do exactly what he's always done and just stare vacantly at him. He's just like,
Never has there been a person with less agency. It's like he's like glued to the wall.
Right. Making this dumb face. They finally, after all this time, have now controlled the guard, which like...
Which took no effort. Oh my god, his face is so funny.
Right? He's like, duh.
Tommy's like, hee hee.
If only Kirk's children
like,
were...
No, I've never punched a kid before. But...
Right, I was going to say, if only children were really easy to dispose of.
Just kick him in the face. Now Kirk looks like he really has to pee.
Oh, no.
Captain, we must get off this bridge.
I'm glad that kids can take control of the ship so easily.
I'm losing command.
For this scene, the director told Shatner, now, act like you have a tiny, tiny penis. How do you think you would act?
It's like, act like you were on your first day of acting class and someone told you to act shy.
Oh, I'm so shy. Oh.
I'm so shy, everybody. I'm scared.
I'm alone.
Oh, God.
We're alone together, Captain. The two of us, both alone, right together, here in the elevator.
Oh, my God.
I've lost command.
Man, I bet Shatner was a great stage actor, but, you know, it does not always translate. Aww.
Jim, get your hands off my neck until we get back to our room.
And then put them back on immediately. Right,
this is not the context. We should at least stop the turbo lift first.
There should be like... command. Isn't there some kind of like auxiliary bridge or something?
In TNG, they have the battle bridge.
Command. Yeah, they should go to the battle bridge. Hey, stop biting your nails. I know it's a bad episode, but...
Sorry, bad hangnails. when your hangnail becomes more interesting.
Auxiliary control. Okay, cool. We're good.
Man, you were right on. You were on that. The ship is
off course. Yeah, they did something logical for once.
Scotty, I want you to override the bridge navigation system, plot a course for Starbase 4.
I can't do that, sir.
Why not?
These are very sensitive instruments. I will not have you upset their dynamic balance. We would all.
Oh my god, I want to check how much time we have left in this episode, but I also don't want to know. You know.
I feel like we kind of powered through the first 25 minutes, and now we're just,
Now we're just, like, being dragged across a gravel road of episode.
Listen. The Enterprise has been invaded by alien beings.
Its destination is Marcus. If we take it there, millions will die. The
Scotty's
die
like, who's Marcus?
Man, somebody get these kids out of here.
Yeah, the stupid power that these kids have makes this episode just, like, impossible.
It's a typical all-powerful shit, except it's all being done with kids waving their fists.
It's so annoying.
Phaser the shit out of those kids. What'd you say?
Yeah, for real. I liked this kid. I thought he was cute.
Oh, I'm all right, Spock. My beast is finished.
Is he talking about his penis?
So long as the children are present, there is danger. They are the carriers.
Spock, they're not the alien beings. They're children being misled.
They are followers. Without followers, evil cannot spread.
They're children.
What? Are you really being dismissive of them after they've taken control of your ship, idiot?
The ship itself are endangered.
Yeah, what is happening?
Thank God
to Kirk?
For Spock. I don't know. He's like having a breakdown. Right, and none of the lines he says are making any sense.
Perhaps that is true. But the evil that is within them is spreading fast. And unless we can...
Oh, my God. This is so fucking stupid.
We should just kill these kids. And then we should kill ourselves. And then the episode will be over.
All right, Tommy, the captain of the Enterprise, walking down the hallway now.
Dude, I would feel... If they did just kill all these kids, I would feel great about it. You know,
God, that'd
I'd
be so
like,
funny.
Yeah, thank you.
The TOS episode where they murder 5 children. Does one of these red shirts following Chekhov kind of look like a boil moments away from bursting?
This order is false. I want you and your men to return to the city.
That's such a horrible thing him. To say. I see it. I see it. I'll admit
Sir,
it.
Please, somebody needs to pop me.
Oh, God, stop.
I'm so full of pus.
Ew. Oh, God.
Force me to kill you, sir. I will.
I will
yeah,
do it
please.
Russia style.
Shut up. Russia style. Oh my god.
By the power
Make
of Rasputin, I must stop you.
Rasputin.
Order, Ensign.
I have never disobeyed an order, Captain. You know, I have never disobeyed.
I know that, Ensign. You have never disobeyed an order, but an alien being is aboard the ship.
Disobey now, I can't.
Has Chekhov really never disobeyed an order? Kind of seems like he might have. Oh yeah, give him a good shove.
Chekhov, if you kill Kirk, he'll become a dead body, and we all know that's your greatest fear.
Oh my god, so funny.
Kirk is just hurling around these red shirts like they're nothing. Spock is popping the boil man. He's trying to anyway.
Boil man.
The human boil.
Ew.
I don't think I've ever seen a more red human being in my life than that guy.
Stop it.
Join me on the bridge.
The more
I could be,
red
I could be
human
actively
being.
On fire and I would not be that red.
Oh, he's sitting at the captain's chair. And Hadley's there again.
But now he's brainwashed too. You can tell the difference.
Yeah, I can totally tell by the performance he's giving.
Does not understand.
It's not like Lieutenant Hadley to just sit there and quietly do his job.
We are going to Marcos. We are going to Marcos. We're going to follow our friend.
That's actually one thing that I want to express some gratitude for, is that that horrible fucking guy has only been here twice, and I'm really hoping he'll just come one more time and we only have to deal with him three times. That's my wish. It's my prayer.
Leader. What guy? I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Shut up! You know who I'm talking about. Mr. Monologue.
What do you mean a monologuing green man in a trash bag showed up twice and talked for 4 minutes straight two times?
I wish it wasn't true.
That never happened. I don't even remember this.
Oh my god. Get out of here.
Let him prove to me that he is my friend, and I'll follow him to Marcus 12 and to the ends of the universe.
No!
This is a good plan. I mean, I don't know. Akura's still just like staring at the weird place that her mirror just appeared.
Play back the chant. The children sang to summon up the Gorgon.
Uh-oh. With pleasure, sir.
He's like, this is a bop. I made a remix of it. I hope that still works.
The kids are like, you're telling me all we had to do was record ourselves and just play this thing? I didn't have to gather the other four kids and dance in a circle? That's not a part of it?
Call the angels, we will go.
We will go. Oh, it's some of the other kids, apparently.
For to see, friendly angel, come to me.
Oh, God.
Here he comes.
You
know, he kind of looks like a Christmas tree.
Oh, my God, he does. Wow.
Oh, he's having trouble materializing.
The time has come to see the world as it is.
He was actually a kid the whole time. God, I hate him.
I did, Gorgon.
Why does he keep saying that? What does that mean?
It lost its power in the light of reality.
Either you know or you don't, you know. And
If you know, you know.
No, Captain. I command here. My followers are strong and faithful and obedient.
They're literal children. I could break their arms like nothing, like toothpicks.
You take from those who do not know you.
And we know you.
Then you know I must win, Captain.
Not if we join together to fight you.
Foolish.
Oh, God.
This man's performance is just nothing.
Join me, but you were gentle, and that is a great...
It's nothing, and the lines are terrible.
The role is dumb. The costume is stupid.
Everything is terrible.
You are like the parents. You must be eliminated.
Oh, so he made them commit suicide. It all makes sense now, because that's what I want to do when he talks.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It's a great plan. He just shows up and everybody's like, wow, where is some poison? I need to get out of here.
Death by boredom.
I fear nothing.
So we were told.
Help us, everyone. Help. Help. We're trapped in this episode. So send help.
Oh my God.
Kern, Ross.
Help.
Samuel B. Somebody.
Somebody.
SOS.
Anybody.
SOS. We're stuck watching. We're stuck watching. And the children shall leave.
A home video of all of them playing together.
Wow. Remember how much fun we had before our parents killed themselves?
Isn't it crazy when home videos can just, like, zoom in and follow one character around even though every character is in the shot?
Right.
Oh, look at those shiny boots. Remember how shiny our boots were, guys?
Man, at least we still have our shiny boots. We'll always have those.
We'll always have our shiny boots. Wow, these guys do not know how to play volleyball.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Does this ball game they're playing have no rules? They're just bouncing a ball around like crazy.
The only rule is that you have to look cute and happy.
They're playing with the ball the same way that like a group of seals would play with the ball. They're sure having fun. I don't know what they're doing, but oh no, hard cut to all of them dead. Oh no, that was kind of sad, I guess, when all our parents died.
Damn.
The kids, the looks on their faces, they're all so awkward, like, oh, no.
That was kind of sad, I guess.
Yeah, we did kill our parents. That's awkward.
They would have destroyed you, but he recognized you too late.
And you were also too late. The kind ones always are.
Not always. Good. When did they find out his name was Gorgon?
From them. Well, you know, his name tag. See you as we see you.
He just looks like a Gorgon.
He's got one of those Gorgon faces. The children learn. Man, these kids are crying the biggest, fattest tears you ever seen. Their faces
actually,
are doused
I feel like
in
the blonde
tears.
Girl is actually giving a good performance. The other kids, they definitely just put tears on their faces.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
But I don't want to know what they told that girl to make her cry like that, because... You know.
They just put a bunch of tears on her.
No, she's actually crying.
They must be annihilated.
Don't be afraid. This guy gets kind of mean.
Ew, he's ugly.
My God, he has two
like
warts.
Three things on his face.
Oh no!
God,
lots
I hate
of
this
goopy
guy.
Crap on his face.
I actually hate him less now that he's melting. That's how much I hated him before.
I like his angry voice, though. I'm not a nice guy anymore. Now I'm a mean guy.
You will be swept aside to make way for the strong.
He was ugly the whole time, idiots. Ew! Like, he's got a random eyeball. Just like... That makeup's actually kind of fun, not gonna lie.
Because we got really ugly and then just chanted and disappeared.
Yep, it happens. We've all been there.
Sulu finally made it through the knives.
Oh my God, I can't believe that worked.
He flew through the imaginary knives.
And I don't know
so
where
just to be
Record
clear, Kirk
time,
solved
be
the problem
honest.
By
where
being
was
like...
He?
Kirk solved the problem by being like, kids, look how ugly that man is that's telling you what to do. And they're all like, my God, he is ugly. And then
yep, that's true.
The tap labor right. After.
Yes. To size all of right. It.
We can help them now.
We'll get them all a
Kirk's
new
like,
set
anyways,
of shiny gloves to match their
anymore.
Shiny boots.
Marcus 12, dead ahead, sir. Reverse course, Mr. Sulu.
And the camera's bad again. Love that.
Yeah, right? Camera looks awful again all of a sudden.
And why is McCoy taking the children away? He's the last person that they should be with.
Right.
He's like, don't worry, I'm taking you to Nurse Chapel.
Your best pal.
Set course for Starbase 4, Mr. Sulu.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thanks, Fred Freeburger. Thanks for producing this great episode. What would we do without you?
And the Enterprise flies off.
The Enterprise flies off. My Enterprise.
My Enterprise flies off.
Everybody say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that
man.
Was...
Man. Let's practice our groans again.
That was...
Oh, God.
That was...
Okay. Glad we got those out. Sometimes you just become so full of those, you have to let them out, you know? And this episode was one of those times.
I did a lot of screaming. That made me feel better.
Let's go to warp if we can get going that fast.
Warp drive, Mr. Scott.
This is the warp speed rating segment. We're going to rate that episode on a scale from impulse speed to full warp, roughly a scale of 1 to 10.
Roughly.
I think you can guess which side of the scale we're leaning towards for this episode. So, let's see. I was going to say half impulse. But then I thought, is that too forgiving? I think there a single redeeming element in this episode?
Not a single one. I can't think of a single good thing.
I did correctly predict that it did. It committed the most cardinal sin of Star Trek or any television show, which is that it was just dull. It was boring. This was a boring fucking episode. Nothing happened.
I felt like
happened.
I was being tortured.
I did not care. I didn't.
I would.
No intrigue.
I would rather watch Peppa Pig. That's how much I hated this.
I don't really know what that is, but I'm inclined to agree. A lot of children's shows are better than this.
Oh my god.
I can't stop doing that. That noise just like encapsulates where I'm at with this episode. Yeah, I'm gonna bring it down to a quarter impulse. I still think alternative factor is worse.
I disagree. I think this is worse than alternative factor.
Really? You think so?
I think this was so painful. I felt like my brain was being cheese grated as I was watching this.
Yeah.
It was so stupid and dumb and boring. Ugh, that was so bad. I think that's the worst episode. It's worse than Alternative Factor and worse than Spock's brain. No redeeming qualities. Garbage.
I think to me the difference between this and Alternative Factor was this is just this is just nothing. This is just devoid of anything interesting to, like, glom onto or pay attention to. So it's just, like, a grueling watch to, like, go through it like that. To me, and so it was just devoid of anything enjoyable. But to me, Alternative Factor was not only that, but was, like, an active assault on, like, the part of your brain that tries to, like, rationalize plots and follow what's going on. Because this one,
okay.
I did know what was happening. I just didn't care or find it interesting. But Alternative Factor was like, it was like hitting me in the head being like, you don't know what's going on. You got no fucking clue. There's an alternate universe. This guy's two guys. Why is his beard changed? That's just an accident. Like,
but just like the kids, like just mind controlling everybody. And it's like, well, I guess we're mind controlled by kids now. It's like, God, it's so stupid. And it made no sense. Made zero sense.
Yeah, I mean...
Kids, they're stupid.
It made sense, in quotations, in the framing of the story that's happening. It's just nonsensical and boring and dumb.
I guess I don't care. I don't think it made sense.
I don't care
And I don't want to think about this episode enough to argue with you.
But
I do
want to know,
whatever.
Viewers, listeners... What do you think? This one or Alternative Factor? Which one's worse? Because
this one's worse,
two
I'm telling you.
Absolute turds of episodes. And I think Kern has already said that he agrees with you, Sammy, so
I feel like for me, The Children Shall Lead is worse, and then Alternative Factor and Spock's Brain are like just like a tiny bit better and they're tied.
I would put Spock's Brain well above these two. Like I would still say it's probably the third worst episode.
But
like these two are so far down here in terms of like just being.
This
just
is like underground. This is like flushed into the toilet, deep in the sewer system.
Useless.
Of
like I would be garbage, fine if they didn't exist. You know.
Yes, absolutely. There's not one single redeeming quality.
No, there's really not. I can't think of like anything nice to say about this episode. Usually, I like am all
thing.
About silver linings. And I'm just like struggling. And it's like,
nope.
It feels almost like a joke how much they like give us just, it's like not only are they like, oh, it's an episode mostly following five kids. And you're like, oh God, like, okay. It's like, maybe this won't be so bad. And then the next thing they do is
be
like, and you know who else is here?
Obviously.
Nurse Chapel. Like let's do a whole Nurse Chapel scene. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Wow. I kind of liked Sulu flying through daggers. There we go.
Shut up. It was so stupid.
And Scotty had a brief interaction that I enjoyed where he's like yelling at the guy for being insane. That mm-hmm. I kind of liked how they wrote Scotty in that scene.
Like a tiny bit pleasant.
Those are my silver linings. That's like the half a percentage point of not terrible that I'm going to give this episode is for those couple of things.
Oof.
But yeah, this sucked. I mean, this just sucked. Like,
I can't
like
even
sitting through it.
I like genuinely, I don't even feel like the ship was at standstill. I feel like it was worse. Like, I feel like the ship has crash landed onto an alien planet, and everybody but the main characters died a horrible, tragic death.
Do you feel like it's flying through a vortex of daggers in the wrong direction?
I feel like it is being, no, it's not, yeah, it's like reverse through the vortex of daggers, and the daggers are stabbing it and stabbing me.
So you're giving the episode a zero, you would say.
Like, if sub-zero is possible, yes, but if zero is as low as I can go, then a zero it is.
Okay,
just
all right.
Horrible, horrible, horrible. I hated that. That was so bad.
Yeah, what if just, like, joyless slog is, like, the biggest part of
yes.
it? Like.
Yes, it felt like walking through like waist high mud in a rainstorm with hairy mud.
Don't worry, we'll be out of this mud pretty darn soon. I'll make sure of it. Oh god. Okay. Yep, we hate it. That's where
we're never watching Star Trek ever again.
Yep. Sorry, guys.
In spite of everything we said at the top of the episode, yeah, this is it.
But.
We're calling it.
First, we have to do this.
Mary, kill, Hanfar!
All right, time for the fun part. The part where I give Alex three characters from the episode we just watched, and he chooses one to marry, one to kill, and one to commit to Ponfar with, and he's excited.
But listen, if you want to pull characters from some other episodes for this one, you know, feel free, you know.
Nope. All right, behind door number one, we have, is she young? Is she old? We don't know, but it's Uhura.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Who's maybe having a panic attack based on feeling like she's old. Unclear. Behind door number two, I don't think he's ever made an appearance, but it's Lieutenant Hadley.
Lieutenant Hadley's here.
And because I finally learned his name.
Consistent,
behind
if anything.
Behind door number three, we have the red shirt who looks like a Boyle.
Oh, no. Boyle, man. Oh god, that man was.
I decided it actually is like face melting Uhura.
What'd you say?
I decided that it is in fact like the face melting horrible Uhura.
Oh no, it's the ugly Uhura?
It's the ugly Uhura.
Oh no. Well, I'd rather be with the ugly, terrifying version of Uhura than I would with a giant human pimple. So. I can't believe they let that man be on TV with that skin tone. Like,
oh my god.
I'm trying to think if I'm like maybe if I went and did like 20 pull-ups, which I literally can't do, like maybe I would be that red. Like,
can you do one pull-up?
Yes.
I've never been able to do a pull-up in my life. I could not lift my body weight with my arms.
Oh, I get worse at it every year. I would be interested to know if at this point in my life if I could do as many as three.
You know, it's still better than me.
If I'm guessing, that's probably how many I can do. I can probably do like one, not much trouble. Second one, it was a little tough. Third one, hardest thing I ever fucking done. Fourth one, not gonna happen. That's my
one, you look like the Boyle guy.
Fourth one, I've turned into the Boyle guy. All right, so that's Alex pull-up corner for all of you guys.
Tell us how many pull-ups you can do, because we don't want to talk about this episode anymore.
Right? Yeah. No. But in the I'll marry Hadley if I didn't say that. I'm marrying Hadley.
Okay, good choice. Okay. Man, you're palm farming with
stinker choices syndrome. There though.
I know, I was trying to be nice, and I decided I didn't want to be nice because this episode has filled me with malice.
Right. Let me give you I want to give you a Mary Kill Pond Far. I'm gonna pick some Strange New Worlds characters here.
Oh yes.
Just to make things a little more interesting, because nobody really cares if I like Lieutenant Hadley better than I like Ugly Laura and Pimple Man.
The people care.
I demand interesting subjects for Mary Kill Pond Far.
I have to pick them myself.
Those are hilarious. Those were hilarious choices. But okay, let's say Nurse Chapel
in Strange New Worlds.
In Strange New Worlds,
important distinction,
mm-hmm, right? La'an Noonien Singh. Soon,
wow.
And Uhura. I'll give you Uhura. I'm giving you ladies. I give you a lineup of ladies here.
Lineup of ladies.
Three of the most beautiful women you've ever seen, who are all competent,
absolutely,
and amazing.
We
love
how
many women we have in the cast of Strange New Worlds.
Absolutely. It feels right, you
know?
It
does, yeah.
Okay. I feel like me and Nurse Chapel are similar in a way that would not be compatible for, like, getting married. So, I still think she's, like, insanely hot. I mean, they all are. But I'm going to pawn far with her. I feel like me and La'an would actually be, like, a surprisingly good couple because we're very, like, opposites attract. So, I think I would marry La'an, and then I think I would have to kill her, as much as that's horrible and devastating.
Damn.
But they're all
horrible. Wow, you are evil. Yeah. I can't believe you do that to a poor Uhura.
Shut up. It's hard to kill somebody.
It is hard to kill somebody.
I will not kill any of them.
Well, I'm better than that. I wouldn't do that.
What would you do?
So I
know you're marrying La'an also.
I'm actually going to marry all three of them.
Shut up. That's not a choice.
No, I do. I would do exactly.
We all allowed to do that. You would do the same?
Yes, absolutely.
You would kill Uhura? Oh my God.
It's terrible. Sometimes you got to kill Uhura.
I've had enough of you. Get out of here.
I think you would be hard pressed to find another character in the franchise that I would marry sooner than La'an.
Yeah, she's something else.
She is something else.
Mm-hmm. She's quite a woman.
Mm-hmm. That hair pulled back all tight and that angry expression on her face all the time.
I know.
The fact that she doesn't
want to
be friends with anybody. I live for it.
You're like, that's my dream girl.
Oh, except maybe T'Pring, is that her name? Spock's girlfriend?
Oh man, she's also a bitch.
I forgot about her. She's so bitchy and hot.
Yeah, she's crazy hot.
This show, jam-packed with bitchy hot women. I'm living for it.
It's the best kind, yeah.
Ain't it
That's
just...
That's actually why we love Strange New Worlds.
Right. Anyway.
And don't forget Una, also gorgeous, also hot, also kind of a bitch.
Also kind of a bitch, yeah.
Never forget.
It's true. Yeah. Closing thoughts, Sammy? What do you think? How are you feeling?
My closing thoughts are, I hope the future is full of hot, bitchy women. And I'm so glad we never have to watch that episode ever again.
Me too. And I'm hoping this is like a low point. I mean, I can't believe this comes right after.
How could it not be? Like, this has to be as bad as it gets, you know?
The fact that it's this close together with Spock's brain and the natives episode. Is like, I can't believe
season three does. Yeah,
what was that? Was that episode five of season three or episode four?
I don't know, but remember the Enterprise incident?
Oh, I do. That was episode four. That was the fourth episode of the. Oh my God, what a terrible start this season gets off to.
I don't think it gets a lot better.
Oh my God, I can't imagine. I can't believe we're gonna do another like 15 episodes like this. Because like usually the first few episodes of the season are like the best ones. So it's like these are the heights that we are. This is as good as it's gonna get.
You guys, I don't know if we can do it. Just kidding, we can do it. But man, it's gonna fucking suck.
We'll do it. We'll just whine the whole way. Yep, right. Yeah. Stick with us, guys. It'll be fun, just like this was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Kern, tell us what the hell they were thinking.
I hope Kern's next message is just like, I don't know anything about this episode because I hate it and I didn't. I'm like,
you would never.
Whatever. We'll see. Until next time, everybody, live long
and prosper.
Thanks for listening to Star Trek: The Original Siblings. Follow the show on social media, on Instagram and Twitter at STOSibsPod, or send us a subspace message at STOSibsPod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're at it, rate us 5 stars, or maybe write us a nice review. Tune in next time, and until then, live long and prosper.